I don't know about you guys, but I have been loving the Philippians Bible study that we've been doing, the morning services, and going through it and reading his word. I haven't done that often, expository preaching, and man, I think it's been one of my favorite things that we've done in the past little bit, and just enjoyed going through and reading and saying, how can I apply it to my life, man? And again, the book of Philippians is written by Paul, who is incarcerated, house arrest in Rome, waiting to see Caesar. They're not sure if he's still waiting to see him or if he's already seen him and he's just awaiting the verdict, but we know that he's there. He was there for a two-year period. In that time, how many of you know, just because he's at home and can't leave, he still has to take care of his home, right? How many of you, if I say, okay, you have to stay home, you'd be like, but wait, I got to work, right? I got to make money. I got to do these things. And Paul was no different in this. And what he's doing right now is he's writing a letter to them to do two things. One, most of all, and we're going to talk about that here in a second, to thank them for their giving, for helping to take care of him all through his travels. And you'll hear that in a minute. But he's also teaching them and telling them about the joy of the Lord, that it's always with us, that it doesn't leave us. Again, the scripture tells us Jesus said, the world didn't give it to you, so the world can't take it away. I'm telling you these things so that you will have my joy and that your joy will be full, right? Not just a little bit, but it will be full. And how many of you know God doesn't just make things full? A lot of times he makes it overflow. Why? So that it falls on other people, right? So that we give it away, that we have an excess to be able to take care of. And again, we have a hard time finding his joy sometimes. It's like our car keys, they're right there, but we didn't know it. Y'all ready for a story? So I've been missing a set of keys all week. Like before we left, I couldn't find my keys and they were nowhere. And then we backed in our driveway and I backed in, I got out to take the trailer off. I got back in the truck and the keys were sitting in my seat. And I'm like, look, they ain't been here this whole time, because that would have just poked me. You know what I'm saying? It was not there. Where are these keys? I said, April, where? She's like, they were in my purse. So they were in her purse with us all week, and I couldn't find it. Why? Because I didn't look in the right place. You know what? Our joy is with us all the time. In every situation, we need to look in the right place. We need to focus on the right things. When we're going through life, when things are happening, we need to focus on the joy of the Lord, on God, on what he's doing, and on in our situation. He tells us in the earlier chapters that no matter what, if anybody had a reason to complain, it was him, right? Beaten 39 lashes five times, shipwrecked a couple times, out to sea a day and a night, all these different things, betrayed by people, betrayed by friends, betrayed by everything that's going on, and people outside, inside, it didn't matter. And this is what he's talking about, is in the middle of it, I still have the joy of the Lord. Why? Because it can't be taken away. We need to look for it. We need to find it. And again, we're going to start in chapter 4, and we're going to finish up today. And the first thing that it says in chapter 4 is, therefore, my brothers. The other scripture says, so then, my brothers. And my dad always taught me that when it says therefore, do you know what it means? Then you need to look around and see what it's there for, right? Why is it there? And this is what he says in the last chapter. He said, he will transform our bodies of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself. So he is able to bring all of us back to himself, and he's going to. And he's saying, because of that, we need to do this one thing. You ready? Therefore, my brothers, who I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. The first thing that he tells us is that joy comes from the Lord. Where does his joy? What does he just say right there? Stands firm in the Lord. That there's joy when we stand firm in the Lord. There's joy when we come to God and allow him to do what he wants to do in our life. Joy comes to us. When we look around, again, nobody wants the test, but everybody wants the testimony, right? Nobody wants to go through the issue and the problem and have the trials, but everybody wants the glorious end to it all, right? I know I do. You guys might not, but I do. But I don't want to stand in the middle of problems and issues and trials. But the scripture says, hey, you're going to go through it, but cheer up. I have overcome the world. And you think this thought, okay, all right, Jesus, you overcame it, but I'm in a situation. When you're in Christ, it's his situation, right? Let me say that again. When you're in Christ, it's his situation. He's taking care of it. And he said, I can do anything, all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're going to read that in a minute too. This next thing that we hear is, I entreat Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. How many of you know we have issues sometimes with people? We don't always see eye to eye. Amen? You guys probably do, but I don't. All right? I think this is all written to me, right? This is what he's telling them to do, man. He's calling out an issue that's going on, a disagreement. And what the problem is that when there's disagreement, there's no unity, right? You're like, well, that makes sense. There's no unity because you're disagreeing. Yes, but in the scripture, what is it? What always happens when God does something? When he does something amazing, there's unity. The day of Pentecost, they were all in one place. They were all in one accord. And what happened? The Holy Spirit fell. Time and time again, we see, and we read it earlier in some of the other chapters, that unity is so important. And this is the thing. Most of the issues that take place in a church and cause discord have nothing to do with God. And everything to do with the people that are in the middle of it. Has nothing to do with the scripture, what the scripture says, what's happening, and everything to do with, well, they said this and they said that. I had an issue this week, and I, how many of you just wake up and it's just, you're grumpy, right? So this happened the other day, and somebody said something, and I took it the extreme wrong way, the way that wasn't intended to be. But instead of saying, hey, I wasn't happy about that, what happened? It destroyed a part of my time. And the issue had nothing to do with anybody but who? Me. But because of it, it caused a rift. It caused a problem, not just with me, but with other people, because everybody I came in contact with, what? I was mean, rude, and grumpy. You guys don't do that again. But I do, right? I go through these things, man, and I have to sometimes back up and say, look, man, you're wrong in this, to myself. Examine myself. Do you know what we need to do when situations and issues come? We need to stop looking at other people and how they're wrong and look at ourselves and say, what did I do in this situation? How am I handling this? Because we're going to talk in a minute about the scripture and how we're supposed to handle things. Do you know how he tells them to handle things right there? Agree in the Lord. Have the mind of Christ. Number two in your notes. We need to have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ in these issues, in these problems, in these things, do you know what comes out almost automatically? Y'all ready? Do you know what it is? Forgiveness. If we have the mind of Christ, forgiveness comes out even in the midst of the struggle, even in the midst of the problem. Christ is on the cross. No, Christ is in the garden. They're arresting him, going to take him away. Peter chops off his ear. What does he do? No, let's put that back. We don't need to act that way. I'm going to be kind to you even though you're not being kind to me right now. If we would take that thought process and apply it to our lives, do you know what? The problems in the church would probably be, I would say way less than half, probably. I think probably 95% of the problems have nothing to do with what's going on in the Word of God, and everything to do with how, did you see how they looked at me? I had this new dress and they didn't even comment me this morning. This is horrible, right? I'm not wearing a dress, y'all. I was just saying. And I'm not saying it just comes from ladies either, right? That's why everybody tells me that my oldest daughter looks just like me. I said, poor kid, I don't look good in the dress, you know? I'm sorry for her. She's a girl. She's not supposed to look like me. I'm a guy. But anyway, the scripture says that we're supposed to have the mind of Christ, especially in issues, especially in problems. I'm going to read some to you. Let me look it up. I didn't put it in my notes. Sorry, guys. Where's Matthew at? He's in here somewhere. Oh. This is what we're supposed to do if we have an issue or a problem. You guys ready? Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go and rebuke him in private. So if you have an issue with somebody, do you know what you do? You go to that person and say, hey, this is what's going on. This is the issue that I have. Is this what happened? Because, you know, a lot of times when we hear the things that happen, they come to us in a way it never really happened, right? They come to us in a way that's twisted and not quite exactly what was being said at the time, right? And so what is it telling us? He's saying, hey, go to that person and say, hey, this is what's up. This is what's going on. What's happening? Let's fix this. Not, you said this and I'm mad. We're never friends again. And I'm going to tell everybody how horrible you are, right? Put all over Facebook because that's what we do, right? That's not what it says. It says, go to that person. If you have an issue, if you have a problem, go to that person and say, hey, this is the problem that I'm having. And it says this. You guys ready? If he listens to you, you have won a brother. The conflict, what happened? You came stronger together because of it, because you went through it, because you worked it out. Then it says, if you won't listen, then take one or two more with you so that by the testimony of two or three witnesses, every fact may be established. So go back with somebody and say, hey, listen, man, this was the issue. I want to resolve it. Let's fix it. And then it says, if it doesn't work, if he pays no attention, then tell the church. But if he doesn't pay attention to even the church, let him be like an unbeliever or like a tax collector. Unbelievers were bad and tax collectors were bad, right? If that's the way they want to be and that's the way they want to live, okay, but that's not going to be a part of my life, right? If you want to do that, okay, but we're probably not going to hang out, right? That's just how it works. And that's what the scripture tells. That's what Jesus says. This is how you handle an issue. This is how you handle a conflict. Have it and do it with the mind of Christ. If we would do that, think about this. The last argument you got into, if you would have the mind of Christ, would it have even been an issue? And almost 99% of the time, we're going to say no. Because the scripture tells us in Romans that we're to make peace as long as it depends on us. So on my side, I need to extend peace. I need to give peace. Then it says this. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. What does he ask the rest of the church to do? To be peacemakers. Look in the number 3 in your notes. Be a peacemaker. Instead of stirring up issues and bringing them out, make peace. Say, hey, look, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. How can we fix it? Because how many of you know, really, all we need to do is fix the issue. It happened. We can't change it. Can't go back even if we wanted to. But we can walk in the future together. Be peacemakers. And then it says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Because God is good always, even in the midst of our issues. Even in the midst of our trials. And if we look for him, we'll find him. Verse 5 says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone because the Lord is at hand. How are we supposed to handle situations? We're supposed to speak the truth in love. Right? Next one in your notes. Speak the truth in love. How many of you know I can tell you the truth in a wrong manner and it will never be accepted? So guys, I'm going to help you with something here. When you're in an argument with your wife, don't bring up something else to try and help combat your issue and say how good you are and how wrong she is, right? Doesn't work. Ladies, same thing, right? Speak the truth in love. You know what? If you have something that you're not happy with, don't do it when you're already in an argument. And don't do it to cause an argument. Go to them and say, hey, listen, this is something that I want us to work on. This is how I see it. How do you see it? And how can we meet in the middle? Because this is the problem with most issues, most things. There's 3 sides to every story. There's your side, there's my side, and there's a truth in the middle somewhere. Why? Why? Because one of us is a liar. No, that's not what. It's not why. It's because we perceive things differently at times. And I see something in a way that you don't see it, and you see something in a way that I don't see it. And if we would come and talk about it, guess what would happen? We probably understand that it was a misunderstanding that we're so mad about and we need to fix it. That's what he's telling us right here, that we need to be peacemakers. We need to help bring peace, not stir up issues, not stir up problems. Speak the truth in love. Number six, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know what that tells us, man? Don't worry about it. Believe in God and let him have it. Let him fight your battles. One of my favorite verses, and I told you guys this a couple times right now, is Exodus 14, 14. He says, you don't let God fight your battles. You need only be silent. God's going to take care of it. You just shut up. Let him do what he's doing. That's how it reads to me, right? That's how I hear it in my mind. You just shut up and let me handle it. Because you know what? He'll take care of it, and it'll be like a surgeon, right? It's a chainsaw when I'm up in there, right? I'm going to destroy stuff instead of fixing things. And that's what we need to understand and make sure that we do, is allow God to take care of our issues, our problems. Don't be anxious about it. Don't be worried about it. Don't try and fight back. Don't get in my Facebook battle, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to win and everybody's going to like me now. It's not like that, man. We need to just allow God to take care of it. We need to give it to him, and then we need to leave it with him. Y'all hear that part? That's important. We need to leave it with him. How many times you ever gave somebody something and then took it back? And then gave it to them and then took it back? And then gave it to them and took it back? Okay, so none of you guys have. I have, right? I have before. I had I had a putter one time. Somebody gave me a putter. I love that putter. It was so great. And I don't know. I don't look like a golfer. I'm not any good. I get my money's worth for sure when I go out there. But this is what happened. He gave me a putter and I was so happy with it. And then he came back to me one day. He's like, hey, man, I'm going to need my putter back. I'm like, I thought you gave it to me. He's like, no, I was just letting you use it, right? Sometimes we let God use our issues for a little bit, then we take it right back, and we're going to mess with it again. We do it. We do it constantly. We pick it back up, and we start carrying it again, and he's like, just leave it with me. Let me have it. Let me take care of it. And then this is what happens when you come to God and you give it to him. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God gives peace when we allow him to have it, and when we allow him to take care of it, when we just leave it alone. We see him, again, do so much better with anything than we ever could. So in our issues and in our problems, what are we supposed to do? He tells us this in the very next verse, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the peace of God will be in you. What do we need to do in the middle of our situations? Think about the good things that's happening in our lives, not dwelling on the bad things. You know what? One bad thing will ruin 25 good things in your life. It happens. Our whole world is devastated by one small thing when all these amazing things are going on in our life and around us and in our families and in our friends and in the things that are happening. And if we'll just start looking at those things and focusing on them, God takes care of that issue. We're not worried about that issue. Why? Because I'm focusing on something else and allowing God to take care of it. Now, let me say this. Don't walk away from your problems. There's some stuff you need to do in your problems, too. Give it to God and allow him to tell you what to do in a situation. That's why it's so important that we walk by the Spirit, as Paul tells us in other places in the Scripture, that we follow the Spirit, that we allow him to lead us and guide us. Because when we do that, guess what? We won't be in the wrong spot. See, it was Shark Week again, y'all, this week. How many of you like Shark Week? Yeah, ain't nobody voting. Wait a minute. How many of you like Shark Week? Especially when you're at the beach, in the ocean, watching Shark Week at night, all these people getting chewed up, and then you go out into the ocean. It's amazing. I want to watch Jaws on a lake sometime because there's no sharks in the lake. There are alligators, but there's no sharks, you know? And so I think that would be fun. But anyway, that was a squirrel. Sorry, I'm going to come back. One of my favorite things that I ever saw on Animal Planet was a thing about these fish, right? And they were little fish, but they swam deep down, right? And they come together in the ocean, and when something big comes, what do? They would get as close as they could together so what was coming up to see them would see something big and say, oh, no, wait, let me go away. That was like all those people. They were feeding to sharks. They were like 10, 9, 10, 11, 12 sharks, and they're all swimming around there everywhere. Then all of a sudden, every single one of them disappears. Why? Because something big's coming, y'all, right? They're smarter than that. And then the next thing you know, a 20-footer comes out of nowhere, right? That's what happened. But see, this is what happens in our lives. And then scripture bears this out. I'm going to tell you in a second. We are like those fish, right, that swim together. We're better together. We should be together. We should hang out together. What happens, and when do we get taken out of what God wants us to do? When we swim off by ourselves. The scripture says when we're drawn away by our own lusts and desires, we walk out of the blessings of God. We walk out of where God has us. We walk away from the Spirit of God in our lives, and then we expect to still be fine. And it doesn't work that way. You know what happens to those little fish when one of them takes when they all take a right and he takes a left? There he is, man, or lunch or dinner, one of them, right? And that's what happens when we step out of what God has for us and walk away from and start living our own lives the way we want to do it. We end up having issues. What do they say about that one song? Hell's going to be full of people singing "I Did It My Way," right? Right? That's what they say. It's gonna bust them open, right? Why? Because I am gonna be the one in charge of how I do things. And the scripture tells us that we're supposed to be humble, not prideful. We're supposed to follow. We're supposed to be a servant, and he's our Lord. We listen to him, we do the things that he wants us to do. But how do we keep his peace? Going back to our notes, man, we keep the peace by dwelling on the good things that are around us. Staying focused on those things and practicing the things that we know the Word of God tells us, that we know that our mentors. Remember we talked last week about having a mentor. Find someone that can pour into your life and help you be who God created you to be, that knows about God, right? Don't listen to the ones that don't. But how do we do that? We find somebody that's doing something well. If I want my marriage to be good, I need to find somebody that's got a good marriage and say, how are you doing this? How? Because it can't be a big mystery, right? But it's the same principle as what the scripture tells us, how husbands are supposed to treat the wives and how wives are supposed to treat the husbands, the way that Christ loved the church, right? Gave himself up, humbled himself and said, I'm not important in this, you are. I'm not important in this, you are. How can we work together? And you know what happens? When both parties are doing that, everybody gets taken care of. When one party decides it's me, about me, and the other person is pouring into them, guess what? It doesn't work out. Why? Because one side is not being taken care of. And because of that, there's a problem. There's an issue. There's a disconnect and a divide. I need to find people that are doing things the way that I want to do them, according to God's word, and say, how did you do that? How did you do that? Because I want that in my life. Exactly, again, I've told you guys this, and I'm going to say it again and again. That's how I came to Christ. I looked at my friend, I said, how did you get where I'm still here. How did you get there? And he said, I gave my life to Christ. You do it, it'll do the same for you. Guess what? I did it, he did the same for me. He did the same for me. And so when you find someone who's done it right, guess what? All right, do that, man. You're doing great, man. How are you doing that? How are you able to not walk through those issues? How are you able to walk through that issue and not have problems and be mad and be devastated? How do you do that? And when they tell you it's God and how they do it, start trying it. Right? That's how we overcome, according to Scripture. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know what your testimony does? It builds me up and allows me to have hope in my situation. That's why all the groups, the therapy groups that come together, all the different, the NA and the AA and all these groups that come together and they sit down and they talk, they come and they say, this is my issue. You're so far out of this, man. How did you do it? This is how I did it. Let me help you. That's what happens. Because they have sponsors, they have people that help them and that are pouring into them. And you know what? The ones that do really, really good are the ones whose sponsors are doing really, really good. The ones that aren't doing really, really good are the ones whose sponsors aren't doing really, really good. That's how it happens. You become like the people that you're around. It's nature, human nature. It's what we are. I want to be more Christ-like. I need to find friends that are more Christ-like, and I need to hang out with them. And maybe not let go of the ones behind me, keep in contact, but not hang out with them and allow them to invest into my life. That's what I need to do. We need to dwell on good things. Verse 10, I rejoice in the Lord greatly now at length that you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Number 8, we need to be thankful. First thing he did was rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because everything we have comes from God. He's the one that sent it, even though he used somebody else to do it. And the next thing that we see is that he talked about they were concerned the whole time, but they didn't have an opportunity. Remember I told you I'm going to get to that in a minute, so I ain't going to say much now. You know what? There's so many opportunities around here for you to be involved. And if you don't know about it, guess what? Can't do it. Like I asked you, man, hey, do you guys love the church? Yes. What would you do for that? I'd do anything you want me to do. But if there's not an opportunity put in front of you, guess what? You won't do it, right? And ultimately, some of us, me included, have to be asked before we do certain things, right? I won't just take it on myself or come up and be like, hey, let me help you with that. Let me help you with that. Now, okay, I don't have a problem with that. I like to help everybody, even sometimes too much, right? Yeah, be careful. But it's one of those things, man. He's thanking them and praising God that they saw an opportunity and they took advantage of it. They saw an opportunity and said, because I see that you're in need, I'm going to help you. Because I see that you need some work on your car. I know about cars. Let me help you with it. Because I know, man, Rob does this for me, right? I'm going to put you on the spot, Rob. I can't grow nothing, y'all, like nothing. So what does he do? He comes to my house and he's like, hey, man, let me help you. Let me put this in. You don't have to do nothing. Just leave it alone and it'll grow. And he puts some things in front of my house and he chops some things down and helped me do some different things. Why? Because that's what he does. He's good at it. And because of that, he wants to share that with other people. You know, and I thank God that God has placed you guys in my life to help me in areas that I don't know what I'm doing, right? That's what Paul's saying right here, man. I'm thankful for that. And then it says this, not that I am in need, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned whatever situation I am to be content. Number 9, be content with what you have. With what he's given you. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In every circumstances, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. He said, I know how to be content in everything that I have. If I got a lot or I got a little, I'm still going to be thankful to God and I'm still going to do what he's called me to do. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to do everything that I can. I may not be able to do as much, but you know what? The scripture tells us and shows us time and time and time again that when we need something, God's going to put it in our hands. Moses, I can't talk. I can't do nothing. What am I going to do? He's like, what do you have in your hand? He's like, well, I got this stick. I'm like, all right, use that, right? All I have is a staff. Use that. I can't do this. I can't do it. When you read in the scripture, you know how many things he did with that stick? A lot. Like everything he did was with that stick. Why? Because God gave it to him. You know, in your life, God's put some things in your hand that everything that you do could be taken care of if you would help to use that. Instead of thinking about, well, I don't have this, so I can't do it. And you know what? Oh, my goodness. You know how you watch those things on TV and they have all those little kids that are living in the dump down in South America somewhere. Have you guys seen that? There was a big article, a big thing that they did, and it was all these kids and everything that they have in their house, they got out of dump. Stuff that people threw away. And they were happy, you know? They didn't have a brand new ball, but they had a can they could kick around, and it was really good until it started cutting your feet, right? It's one of those things. It's everything that they needed, they got out of what other people just threw away. The food that they eat, the food that they eat is what people threw away. The clothes that they wear is what people threw away. The things, and you know what? They're some of the happiest people. When you see those kids running around, now I'm sure they got some sad times too, and we just see the highlights of it. But they're so happy, and they're so thankful to have what they have. It's important to them. Why? Because they're content with what God has put into their hands. Whether they've got a really good day today or a bad day today. It's not going to be swayed. And that's what Paul is saying here. Then he says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we would understand that our strength comes from the Lord, that everything that we're able to do is because he's allowed us to have that, to be able to do that. And the things that we can't do, he's put people in our lives that can. That if we would take care of each other and worry about each other, things would be taken care of. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All the issues, all the problems that he had that we talked about in the earlier chapters, man. All the things that he went through, and his focus was still on Christ and on what he could do. Verse 14 says, "Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And you, Philippians yourself, know that in the beginning of my gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except only you. Even in Thessalonica, you sent help for me for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but that I seek fruit that increases to your credit." Scripture shows us over and over again that God blesses the giver. If you look all through the scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, God blesses the giver. He says that and it's the one that everyone uses in Malachi 3:10. Everyone uses for giving and for tithes and offerings. It says, "Bring your whole tithes and offerings into the storehouse and test me in this. Let me show you what I'm going to do." How many of you know that's the first and really the only time God said in the Word of God, "Let me show you what I'm going to do. Try it. You don't think I can do it? Try it. Show me. Let me show you. Let me show you what I'm going to do." We need to understand, and again, Jesus said it again. He said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. But understanding God's principle, God always blesses the giver. Always. Always. Again, man, I go back to my story about my lunch that one day, man. I had the lunch. My wife made it for me. I'm pulling off on Baton Rouge on Segan Lane. I'm turning to go to the office, and there's a dude sitting there, and he was like, "Give him your lunch." I'm like, "Well, I ain't got no money to get another lunch, and this is my lunch, God, right? Let me just lay it out, because I'm not sure you're seeing what I got right here, right?" It's me and him. I know. But I'm like, "God, I can't do that, man. Then I ain't going to have nothing. What am I going to have? Nothing. I'm hungry. See me? I'm hungry. You know all things. I'm hungry." I said, "Give him your lunch." I said, "Okay." Rolled down. I probably had tears in my eyes. "Here, have a lunch. It's my lunch. It was good." Right? It was a good lunch, too. I give it to him. And I don't know. He might have eaten it. He might have just thrown it to the side and waited for somebody else to give him something else. I don't know. But I was obedient in that. And then I'm sitting in the office hungry, right? Like, I'm hungry at 9 a.m. and it's not even lunchtime yet, you know? Just because I don't have a lunch now and I know I don't have a lunch, right? But then my boss comes in. I had to come back to the office, and I get to the office. He comes in and is like, "Hey, man, we haven't hung out in a while." Because I've known him since he was little down here in Florida. Then he moved to Louisiana. And so I knew him. He was my boss. And he said, "Dude, we haven't hung out in a long time. Let me take you to lunch today." So had I not been obedient, then I'd have had a lunch that spoiled. And I hadn't done what God had asked me to do, right? Sometimes we need to give, even though we don't understand what's going to happen behind it, and make sure that we have what we need. Because how many of you know God is going to give you what you need when you need it? We need to understand, man, that sometimes we need to give of everything that he's put into our hands. This is what he's saying. I'm not seeking a gift, but I'm seeking that the fruit will increase to your credit. That God will bless you because you gave to me. He says in verse 18, "I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." You say, "Well, why is that?" Again, scripture tells us, Jesus said, "Hey, I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When did I do that? When you did it to the least of these." When we take care of those people that God has put into our lives, Christ says it's as though we're taking care of him. And then it says this, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen." We need to understand that God is our provider. Not our jobs, not the government, not any other aspect or any other thing. Now, the scripture does tell us that he gives us the ability to create wealth, right? He put in our hands the things we need to do sometimes. He doesn't want us to just sit at home and be like, all right, God, take care of me, right? That's not how it happens. That's not the way that it works, right? Because the scripture also tells us what? If you don't work, you don't eat. It's principle, right? You have to do your part, but God is the one that puts things in our hands. God is the one that gives to us. Reminds me of a story. Y'all ready? I'm going to tell y'all a joke. Y'all ready? There's an old lady, and she couldn't work. She was at home. She was a widow lady. She's on her porch. Every morning, she'd go out and pray. Every morning, she'd go on her front porch and pray. Y'all heard this one before? Some of you guys? Every morning, she'd go and sit on her front porch and pray. And pray, God, please send me what I need. God, please send me what I need. God, I don't have any money. I need groceries. Please send me what I need. Well, she had an atheist that lived next door, and he was tired of hearing her pray every morning because she was loud. He didn't want to hear it, so he was going to show her. So the next day, he went and bought a whole bunch of groceries, and he put it on a book because he was going to prove that it wasn't God that gave her stuff, right? So he went and bought her a whole thing of groceries and set it on her front porch and ran ahead behind the bush. And she came out, and she's like, oh, thank you, God, for sending me. He's like, no, it was me. It was me. I'm the one that did it. God didn't do it. She's like, you gave it to me, and you used the devil to bring it. You know, it's like, you even used the devil to bring it to my front door, right? God gives us everything that we have. Do you know why? Because the scripture tells us over and over and over that everything in the earth belongs to him. Everything. I'm just grateful that he thinks of me, that he takes care of me in my need, that he provides for me, for my family. I'm thankful that he provides for you and your family. God is good to us, and we need to understand that it's him who gives us these things. And Paul understood that. He said, man, all these issues, all these things that I have, I understand, God, that you're the one that brings it to me, but I also am thankful that you use other people to do it. And that when they take care of me, guess what? You take care of them. God never leaves any of us out of the equation. That's one of the things. All aspects in the equation get taken care of when we do it God's way. Even the ones that don't deserve it, right? That's one of the things that I learned from working at the food pantry and doing things over at the thing. It says sometimes, and this is a really good thing, it says sometimes you got to take care of the greedy to take care of the needy, right? Just because some people don't want to work and don't want to do stuff doesn't mean there's people at home that aren't in need that can't do things, right? And although I'm taking care of that, that's one of the things that the Russians said when they came here. It's like, why are all these people here? They have cars. It's like, they can drive around in their cars. Why do they need food, right? Because over there, it's totally different. Like, they don't have, right? But it's one of those situations that when we give, God ends up blessing us in return. In different ways, in different areas, in different aspects of our lives. When we give our time and ability, guess what, man? That's rewarded by God, right? Again, going back to the verse that he said, where's it at? Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. You remember how the scripture says, store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust can't eat and can't take it away? Some treasures we haven't even seen yet, right? And then it says, be careful. When you do stuff, don't broadcast it out because then you have your reward, right? Do things in secret. Everybody don't have to know how good you are because you gave stuff to somebody. Look how good I am. I gave this out. Okay, good job. Attaboy, right? That's your reward. Scripture says, read it. We need to do things. We need to bless others. We need to give of what God has put into our hands, our time, our abilities, our talents, our funds, everything that he's given us. You know that. All right, y'all ready? Y'all know that closet that's got so many clothes in it you can't even get in there to see, but you got nothing to wear? Maybe somebody needs some of that. Maybe somebody at the dump is going to be rejoicing because they got this really cool sweatshirt that you don't want no more because you got 16 other ones in there and still buying more because we got nothing to wear. I'm talking about myself, y'all. It's one of those things. We need to understand God's put things in our hands, not just for us to keep, but for us to share with other people, for us to give away. And then understand that God is our provider, and he takes care of those. He blesses the giver. 10 and 11. The next thing, it says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. And the brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of the Caesar's household. You know why that's so cool? Because they were all Gentiles. They were Romans, right? And they were all caring about another church, another group of people that they've never even met, that they pray for. You know, we have a church in Russia that we pray for constantly. We have other missionaries. I have friends that are missionaries in Africa, man. And they have a Bible college down there where they teach people and they send them out. I pray for them constantly. I pray for the people in their class. I ain't never even met them. And if I did, I wouldn't be able to talk to them, right? But I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to lift them up. I'm still going to care about them. And we need to do the same thing. And this is what we need to pray. That the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us in spirit. Be with your spirit. Verse 23. We need to lift other people up. We need to care about other people more than we do about ourselves. Remember, it's not about me. We need to allow the things that God has placed in our hands to not only be a part of our life and take care of us in our life, but to spread over and to take care of other people. Bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Guys, you can come on back up. And hope. One of the things, man, in the scripture that we talked about today is about don't be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your petitions known to God. And then it says that the peace of God will be a part of our lives. This morning, man, heads about, eyes closed, nobody's looking around. Some of you guys are anxious about some stuff. Some of you guys are carrying some things that you don't need to carry, that you need to allow him to have. Some of you guys are trying to fight battles that you don't need to be fighting. You need to let him take care of them and give you peace in the middle of that situation. You need to let him go. That's you this morning. You need to let it go. You need to come to him. You need to give him those anxieties, those cares, those problems. And allow him to do a work in you. Not in others, in you. You be honest and just put your hand up this morning. Nobody looking around. Heads bowed, eyes closed. That's you. Just put them up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God, I thank you that we can come to you this morning. I thank you that you call us your children. Whether we're following you right now or not, Father God, you have given your son so that we can have freedom. And I ask that this morning you would allow that freedom to come in our lives, that our minds would be renewed by your spirit, that your word says, that our hearts would be made new, Father. Our hearts that are hard because of bitterness and anger and issues with people, Father God, will be made soft again. And we would love. We would love even the unlovable at times, God. I ask that right now as our hands were raised and as you already know the issues and the need that we have, Father God, but right now we're just acknowledging it and saying, God, I give it to you. I want to see you move and work in this situation. I want to see you move and work in me so that even in the midst of the situation, I can still have peace knowing that you're in control. I don't have to know the whys and the hows and the what's going to happen. I can know, God, that you're in control. And then all I have to do is just rest in you, Father. I ask that you would help us see that. I ask that you would allow us to extend forgiveness where it's needed, Father God. And allow us to accept forgiveness in our hearts, Father. Help us now with all these issues, all these anxieties, all these things, God. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today is a good day. Do you know why? Because no matter what issue you're going through, the peace of God can be a part of your life. You know, one thing that I meant to say, and I didn't write it down, so I didn't say it earlier about situations and trials and problems. Maybe I need to do a sermon on it or something. I don't know. But what I was thinking about was about the different times that Jesus came to or was with the disciples in the storm. You guys think about the different times. And one of the times Jesus was asleep in the boat and the storm came up and everybody was upset and crazy. And he got up and he stopped everything and said, "Peace be still," and the storm completely quit, right? He was with them the whole time, but he's like, "All right, stop," and it quit, right? And then the other time they're in the storm and he walks out to them because he wasn't with them, remember? It's when Peter walked on the water, and we talked about that a little while back. And if you notice, he didn't calm the storm at that time. He allowed Peter to get out of the boat, the wind and the waves and the issues. They were all still there, but he was with them. And for a time, Peter had peace because he was with Jesus and he had his eyes on him. He was in him, right? At the time, let me say it that way. But it wasn't until he started turning around and looking at the storm that he started to sink and Jesus caught him. Sometimes Jesus takes away, God takes away our situation and just calms it all. And then sometimes he walks us through the storm. Because if you notice, it says when they got back in the boat, right? So Peter got out and he walked on the water. Jesus grabbed him. The wind and waves didn't immediately stop. It said when they got back in the boat, the wind and the waves stopped. Sometimes he meets us where we're at and walks us through the situation to the end of it. So in your prayers and in your struggles when you're going through different things, man, don't get frustrated. Don't get worried. Don't get anxious about it, man. Just keep focusing on him, right? And allow him to either stop the storm or allow him to walk you through the storm in the process of it. And see that he will take care of you in the midst of everything. Because he will. He will. He will. All right, we're going to do this. I'm going to pray one more time. We're going to sing a song. And then I want you guys to do this for me. I gave you homework last week, and I forgot to ask you who did it. But I remember I asked you at the end of service if you looked at the day before, how much glory did you bring to God? Did anybody, well, no, don't raise your hand because I'm like, no, I didn't. Think that thought. Did anybody do that this week? Did you look at your day as you were going through your day and think, God, how can I bring glory to your name? And if you did, come and tell me about it later because I want to know. That's one of those things because this is the scripture, man. When you look for things, you'll find them, right? Seek and you'll find. Knock, it'll be open. Ask, you'll receive. I said I'm out of order, but you guys know what I mean, right? They're there. The opportunities are there. If we look for them, we'll find them. And then we'll allow God's blessing to come into our lives. Why? Because of obedience. And because God always blesses the giver. He does. He does. He does. Remember that. Find ways that you can give to people this week, especially his love, grace, and mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, as we get ready to leave here today, God, I ask that you see our hearts as we walk out of here. I ask that you help meet us in our storm, Father God, the struggles that we're going through. Allow us to find your joy in the midst of it, God, and allow us to see you moving in our problems, in our trials, in our issues, and allow us to remember to be silent and let you take care of them and speak only when you tell us to, Father. It's a hard thing to do, but your word says that your Holy Spirit will give us self-control and discipline, God. Help us walk by your Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name.